What did we learn last week? To summarize the klal in which we learned, is that when somebody performs work for somebody else, Reuven performs work for Shimon, even if he's not asked to provide that work, but Shimon actually takes the benefits of that work at the end of the day, then he has to pay. And not only that, even if Shimon warns Reuven beforehand, you know what, I don't want to pay for your service, but at the end of the day, Shimon takes the service, provides it, he still has to pay. And more than that, even when, from the circumstances, it appears he's doing the work for free, but ends up being that he asked for payment, you still have to pay. Now we're going to develop this concept further with further cases and more points, more nakudas from halachas that we see from this yesod. Providing work for somebody even if there's no agreement made before. So we finished off with our case, which everyone I hope has done homework on. Let us repeat the case. Levi has decided that he would like to extend his apartment, make major building work in his apartment. So he brings in a kablan, and the kablan gives him a whole list of things that he's going to do for him, and fixes a price, and signs a contract. Part of the work entailed a lot of electricity work, which an electrician would have to do. So 18,000 shekels, let's say, for that. So of course, the kablan himself is not going to do that actual electricity work. He's going to bring in a professional electrician to do it. So he brings an electrician, and he provides the work. And Levi, at that stage, meets with the kablan. Work hasn't yet been finished, but it's already reached a vark stage where Levi now hands over money to the kablan. As much has been given to him of the work. So he's paid the kablan to a certain extent. But then the kablan disappears, doesn't come back, he leaves Levi with a job unfinished, and so therefore he has to bring a replacement kablan in. But at least he hasn't, so to speak, lost out of pocket so much. He's paid for what he received. However, the following week, he gets a knock on the door. Electrician turns up and says, I haven't been paid for my work. The kablan has disappeared. I provided you work. I provided you services. You're using what I provided. So I haven't been paid by the kablan, but you're using what I provided. I would like you to pay instead. Levi Tiders back, I've already paid for your work. I gave the money to the kablan, so why should I pay twice? The electrician says back, but I never received the money, so therefore you're taking my work, so you have to pay for it. So the shaila is, who's right in the circumstances? No, everyone's thought about it, so what does people think?
Based on what we said last time, he still got a tova. There was still a tova that was given to him from the electrician. So based upon that, he still has to pay him. You didn't get paid.
You provided work, you're using it, so you're saying you should have to pay. That's what you're suggesting.
The electrician was never expecting that the homeowner would ever pay him. He was expecting money. So there's no... I don't think you can even make a finance from the homeowner because there was no contract between them.
There's no contract, but the whole concept of this theory is what this halacha we're discussing is you don't need a contract. So, there's no contract.
There's no expectation even of the homeowner paying.
But he expects to be paid, yes? He's not giving the work for free.
Why then?
Yeah. And you're taking it. And he brings it from the kablan, so why would that make a difference? It's good chilek, you're saying. Good difference. Who's the third party? Owed money.
Yes.
From who? Who owes him money? Ah, so you're saying that he's working for the Kablan. Okay.
The question is, who's shliach? Is the Kablan a shliach of the owner, or a shliach of the electrician?
Who is he working for? Is the electrician working for the Kablan? The whole last week is that if I provide you a service, even if we don't make any contract, and even if you didn't ask for it, at the end of the day I provided you a service, and you take it, then you have to pay. Now, you don't have to pay enormous rates. You only have to pay the value of the lowest going rate in the market. But you have to pay, because you took it. So there it is to pay. So you have to pay your service. You're saying, owner has to pay. Yeah.
Once you've given that service, you put the wiring in. Does it belong to him?
No, the shul belongs to the building. Yes, I'm sure he did. Now he just wants to be paid for the work he provided. But you're suggesting we're having now a discussion. Who is he working for?
It belongs to the Balabais.
It belongs to the Balabais, but is he working for the Kavan?
What is the difference who he's working for?
Am I providing a service? Let's make it clear. Am I providing the service for the Kablan? And it's the Kablan who I'm benefiting, and therefore he has to pay me, and I'm not benefiting the owner of the house. And
why is it useful?
Or am I benefiting the owner of the house, and I'm doing a service for him?
Well, even if I'm doing it for the same Kablan, for my side, I give him a benefit.
No, I gave the benefit of a Kablan, and he, so to speak, passed it on. It's like I sold a chair to Reuven, the Reuven passed it on to Shimon.
Well, because their title changes. But here, I could be doing both.
And the question is, who did the Kablan steal from? Did the Kablan steal from the owner or steal from the electrician?
He probably stole from everybody. That's what
he said.
That's what we're discussing. If you provided this service and all it is a debt. So now, if the one who owes you the money is the Kablan, why can you take it out? You gave it to him, but he owes the money. So, we'll look at the first Maramokam, number one.
Well, nobody argues that if the Kablan was around, he would be the responsible.
If I give money to him, yes, he's, so to speak, maybe a shliach to pay him, at the best, at the worst. Is it totally his obligation, or is he my agent to pay? But if he's around, he has to pay. Now, the Choshen Mishpat, the Tor brings down the Shitta of the Ramah. The Ramah is talking about a case, in number one, of where somebody was hired to work a field. Then there was a discussion who the field belongs to. Reuven brought down Shimon to work in the field, and now there's an argument and basis between Reuven and Levi, who owns this field? Says the Ramah, Kesh'ein bo'peiros, when the worker is not being paid with the fruit of the field, but he's being paid money for his work. Mad though, he can testify who the field belongs to. The worker can testify who the field belongs to, Reuven or Levi. Why can he testify? Of course he's going to say Reuven, because that's who hired him, and if he doesn't say Reuven, he won't get paid. Says the Ramah, no. Afa bisha tokbo shamara soch l'shalem schaticha k'din asucha po lasis b'shlo v'hiv shalchavero. Even although he worked in the field because of Reuven, but if it ends up the field belongs to Levi, then Levi would have to pay him. So therefore, when the worker would never lose whether he says the field is Reuven or whether he says the field is Levi, he'll never lose. He always will get paid, even though Reuven brought him down. Because that's like a case in Boma Metzia of Paul Lassus Bushlo Him Shokhver. I tell you to work in Shimon's fields, then you're going to get paid always. So what do we see from this Ramah? That even although Reuben hired the worker to go into his fields, and even if based on Tatkins at the end of the day, that's really, it belongs to Levi. Still, Levi would have to pay the worker for the work which was provided. The contract which the worker did was with Reuben, and he, even though he provided in Levi's field, but his contract, so to speak, was with Reuven, so why can he claim from Levi? Says the Ramah, at the end of the day, if it's Levi's field and he gets benefited and Reuven doesn't pay him, then he's got a right to go to the owner to get his money. If he hasn't been paid, then he gets.
It's a different case.
No, it's a different case, no payment. All we see from here is that even though I made a contract with Reuven, but if the owner benefits from it and I don't get paid by Reuven, then I have a right to go to the owner. That's what I see from here.
Well, this is a little different than mistaken identity case. Here, the electrician knows that the owner is not contracted.
Okay.
Very good. I've wondered.
But we were discussing that if I make a contract with Reuven, can I still charge Levi, who's the owner? The answer is yes. Now you've got another point which is not a clear point, but we're going to discuss it now. What we clarified is if even if you provide work because of a contract with Reuven, you can still claim from the owner. In our case, it's not exactly like the Ramah, like you said. Why? Because here the worker knew all along that it belongs to Levi, and he made a contract with Reuven, and he knew that he was expecting to get paid by Reuven and not Levi. He understood at the beginning that he was going to get paid by Reuven and not Levi. It's not like the case of the Ramah where he thought he was the owner and ended up being him the owner. Here, he knew who the owner was, and he was expecting to get paid not by the owner. It's getting paid by somebody who's not the owner. So does that make a difference?
It would seem not. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the person's labor is benefiting. You know,
he's benefiting, but he understood when he provided the work that though he's benefiting the owner, that he's not going to get the money from the owner. He's going to get the money from the person who brought him in, the kaplan.
That's the way it normally works, but this time he didn't get the money from the kaplan, so he's like, I'll go back at the owner.
So this is not a clear answer. Why? Because you could say, the electrician made an oral contract with the kaplan. He says, okay, you're bringing me in, you're going to pay me. That's what he understood. So he came in, he did the work, expecting to get paid by kaplan. The kaplan didn't pay him, so now he's going to the owner. So therefore, the expectation of getting paid by the kaplan, is that mean it releases any claims on the owner or not? Why? What's the start to say it does? I'll tell you why. If somebody owes me money, for example, somebody owes me money, I lent him $100. Right, so now he owes me money. If when I gave him money, the deal was, Shimon comes to me and says, you go and lend Reuven money, and I will pay you. If that's how it's set up, then when I give money to Reuven, I have no right now to claim back money from Reuven, because I'm only lending money because Shimon told me to lend money to Reuven, and my contract with Shimon, and my claim is only from Shimon. I got no rights, even though Reuven's benefiting. So here, is it like this? The kaplan brought an electrician. He said, work in Reuven's house. Basically, give him a service, but you can only charge me. You can't charge him. Lend him your service. Have now a debt, but the debt is only payable by me. If so, then I have no now any right to claim from the person I made the service for, because my whole loan and rights to claim is from the person who brought me in, because he told me to provide the service and he's going to take responsibility. So do we look at like that scenario, and therefore, even although The kaplan has run away, but it's the electrician's problem, because the electrician is owed money, and he agreed to be owed money only by the kaplan, and that released the owner from ever paying, even although the owner is now benefiting from the service. Or do we say that unless you speak it out clearly like that, do we say is yes, I understood I was providing the owner of the house service, and I understood the owner owed me money, and the way the owner is going to pay me is through the kaplan. But of course, if the owner doesn't pay me through the kaplan because the kaplan runs away, then I can still go back to the real person who owes me money. So how do we look at this case? Does it mean I released him? Or do we say, if you don't speak out but clearly, then you don't release him. You're just saying, I'm willing to accept my payment through your agent, meaning the kaplan.
He never spoke to you.
Don't need to speak to him. Why didn't you speak to him?
Because he's not working for you.
I'm working. That's what the whole shiur last week. I provide you a service. You owe me money, so therefore I don't need to speak to you.
But how could he be my agent? How could he be the owner's agent? He's not even dealing with you.
Because the kaplan says, come in, work for this person, provide him a service, and then he'll owe you money. But
no, that's not what the kaplan
says. And you'll get paid for me.
The kaplan doesn't
say
he'll owe you
money. Do we look at it like the contract, that's how he meant it? He didn't say that. Don't claim money from him, only from me. He didn't say that. On the other hand, he didn't say the money's coming from him and it's not coming from
me.
He
absolutely says that, because he can't charge a profit because he'll owe you money. I want you to come to me because I'm going to charge him $15,000, I'm going to charge him $30,000, I'm going to pay you $15,000. So you have nothing to do with him, you just deal with me. That's how a kaplan makes money.
Kaplan makes money for doing the whole job. Maybe who says
he
builds that money?
He makes money by being not an agent. Not
yeah, and some parts of the job he will make money, and some parts he doesn't. The kaplan definitely has to provide it, but once he provides it, because that's his agreement with the owner. But do we look at it as if he's saying, like this case, go work in his field. So if you say go work in his field, I can claim now from the owner. Now, there's no bottom line. There's a machlokas, a dayanim on this.
But there's another factor, though. Because there's no question, but the kaplan didn't run away. There's no question, I think, that I'm afraid to pay the kaplan.
Yes.
I can't even think to pay two people for the same thing.
For sure not. I'm required to pay the kaplan because that's how I set it up. Yes? Because
okay.
the service is provided. But we're looking at the deal between the kaplan and the electrician.
But I can't even think to pay the kaplan and the electrician for the same thing.
You can't. But when the kaplan's here, then I'm willing to take money from anybody. If the kaplan wants to give me money, fine. If the owner wants to give me, fine. So the kaplan, okay, the kaplan's giving me money, fine. That's also good for me.
No. I'm speaking.
The Baal HaBayis has to pay.
Has to pay who?
He has to pay the kaplan. That's his deal.
That's his deal. How can I have to pay the kaplan and the, I can't have to use two different people for the same thing?
No. If you don't cover yourself properly, maybe you end up paying twice.
Right, if your shliach messed up, you still got it. You're chayav to your shliach. Right, he's your shliach. You gave your shliach the money, and your shliach ran away.
I made an arrangement with him. He provided me electricity.
Or maybe he's a shliach.
Why
never view it the kaplan.
Because
you hired the kaplan, say, kaplan, I want you to put electricity and plumbing and this and that.
He knows he's providing.
Maybe
it is.
Maybe that's one of the other here.
I want you to go to the electrician and tell him work for me.
From the kaplan, and he hopes that his relationship with the kaplan will bring him more work. Yes. But he knows at the end of the day he provided the service for the owner, and therefore if he doesn't get paid by the kaplan because it disappears, he feels that he should get paid by the owner because that's who he benefited in. At the end of the day, bottom line, machlokas boti dinim on this topic, and the mail, it ends up, it depends which basin you end up going to, and therefore you should cover your basis.
Can you check out
any worker, any subcontractor that comes in, if you don't want to have this issue, you have to make at least a verbal contract with him. You should say to him, okay, you're doing work in this house, but you should know the person who's responsible to pay is not me, it's the Kavlan. That's my deal. If you want to avoid this question, you may be lucky, end up in the basin, which says that even if you didn't say this, then you'll be okay. But if you don't want to, and maybe Chas v'Shalom pay twice, then the way to avoid the problems, if you can, is when subcontractors come in, speak out verbally and say, you know, your payment is going to be is his responsibility. I'm paying him and it's his responsibility.
Why is he doing this job?
No, it doesn't make a difference.
Would your Eitza help in last week's cases? The guy's just doing the work on his own without being asked, but go out there and say, by the way, just want to clear it to you, I am not paying you for this.
Doesn't help. Not paying doesn't help.
Uh-huh. This only helps the case when you paid someone.
You paid. You're saying, I paid. Uh-huh. I paid your agent. That's what you're basically saying. I paid you by paying the cutler. I owed money, and I paid you by paying the cutler. That's what you're saying to these people who come in. So let's move on. A small shaila, but an interesting shaila, came up. Didn't come to Beis Din, but the shaila was asked to Dayanim in Beis Din. Leah always has the cleaner come round to her house every week. The cleaner this week phoned up and said she's ill, she can't turn up, but I've got somebody who could take my place. Another cleaner. So Leah takes down the phone number of the cleaner. In the morning when the cleaner was supposed to come, Leah phones up the number she was given, speaks to the cleaner, and says, I have to go out this morning, and I'm leaving the keys to my house outside in the electricity box. Just come, take the keys, enter my house, clean, and I'll pay you tomorrow. Because I know you work in the vicinities. So the cleaner comes, picks up the key, goes into the apartment and cleans the apartment. Fine.
Cleans it out or cleans?
Cleans. Not cleans it out. She checked her up. This cleaner's been around in the area from different neighbors and everything. She knows that she's. People leave her on their own in their apartments. Leah comes back, enters the house, and sees her apartment hasn't been cleaned. So she phones up the cleaner, and the cleaner says, I did, I came, took the key, entered the apartment, cleaned the house. And so what had happened? Leah's neighbor, Rochel, always leaves the key, a spare key to her house in the electricity box. In Rochel's house. For Rochel's house. The neighbor. And because the cleaner had never come to this house, so she opened the wrong electricity box, found the key, entered not Leah's house, but Rochel's house, and cleaned Rochel's house instead of Leah's. The cleaner wants her money. She's done a full cleaning job. Leah doesn't have to pay because she was never provided the service. Rochel, who was provided the service, says that I never have cleaners. I always clean the house myself. I don't need this type of service. So what's the halacha in such a case?
Why is that different than last week's cases? I mean, she got a benefit. She paid for a benefit.
Does Rocha have to pay? Yep, she got benefit.
Was it dirty?
It was dirty, yes.
Okay.
Definitely dirty. Definitely needed cleaning. So last week we learned, you can't, even if you're not asked for the service and you provide it, you can charge for the service if you end up taking it. End of the day, you're taking it. You're benefiting from what I provided. So if you don't want it,
mess up the house.
Give it back. But if you're taking it and I provided it, even though you didn't ask for it, you have to pay. So in this case, does Rocco have to pay?
She didn't really get a benefit. She was going to do it herself.
Okay, so does she have to do it herself this week?
She likes doing it.
Does she have to do it this week?
What?
Does she have to do it?
Not she doesn't have to. She can't.
She cuts it.
She can't do
no,
it.
She cuts
she
it.
She would prefer it to clean because she's,
okay.
Whatever.
To her way.
Right, exactly.
Don't let the ladies listen to that on the
So why does she never get a cleaner to clean her house?
Because
she can't afford it. So when you provide a service to somebody who takes it, yeah, but says I can't afford it, does a person who say I can't afford the service now have to pay for it or not? Correct. But there, in the alright, so we'll look at the Gemara. The Gemara, we'll look at the Gemara like you said. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia, number 2, it says, how to rub love the Ferish Itzma? Ele Mechlal Itzma. Rub's statement that you have to pay even though you weren't asked to do service is not a clear statement, but we can deduce it from a story. What story? So Osler coming to Rav, he came in front of Rav. Somebody who was provided the service came in front of the Rav and said, do I have to pay? Omalei, Zilshalem, of course you have to pay. You got service, even though you didn't ask for it. That's what Rav said. Omalei, look in there. I don't need it.
You need it or I don't want it?
Don't need it. Omalei, Zilshalem, still pay since you bedieved. Now, after it's done, you like it, you still pay. Yodatatona, or Malay, Lobina, no, you don't understand. It's totally something which I never want. I don't even want something bidyevet. Take it away. I don't want it at all. So we see from the Gemara, if somebody provides you a service, and they end up saying, I don't want it, take it away, you have that right to say take it away, and then you won't have to pay. But the problem in our case is that if Rachel, who's got that clean house, even though she wasn't didn't ask for it, she's saying I'll never do it, I don't want it, but she can't physically say take it away. How does she say take it away?
She can mess up the house again.
How can she physically say take it away? Yeah, so we're saying a claim of I can't afford it means if you make me pay, then I don't want this. I don't want it if you make me pay. I can't afford it. It just goes beyond my budget. If you make me pay, I definitely don't want it. Yes, it's a good service, but only for free. If you make me pay, it's totally useless for me. I haven't got the budget to pay this. It's planting a tree. Take the tree out. So the Chazan Ish says, doesn't matter at the end of the day why he doesn't want it, but if at the end of the day he says, take it away because I can't afford it, take it away because I don't like it. The end of the day he's saying, take it away. You can't force a payment for a service if he says, take it away. The Shaila in our case is that you can't physically say take it away. So what do you do in the case of a basin where you can't physically take it away? They may make it more messy, but it's clean. How can you take the clean?
Rafa can lay his house and lay it Have Rafa clean lay his house and lay it
No, Rafa doesn't want her neighbor coming into her house and cleaning her house. So the Chazan Ish says this is what a Beis Din has to do in such a scenario. Number 3,
Shvach ti esher lahasira. If something gives you a benefit which you can't remove, kamo seva, something paints your house without being asked.
Why can't you remove it?
You can't remove the paint.
Why not?
How do you remove it?
You've been removed.
Oh, that's not called removing. Nami ha'ike toli benuchuse. We still have to work out, do they really want it after it's done or not really want it? If we see from their actions that now it's done, that they're actually happy with it, then they consider it so, then they have to pay the going rate. In Nuchusidei Rakti Evet, or do we say now that we see actions that now it's done, Bidyevet, they like it? Okay. Then, Havika Enchaluta, they pay only the expenses. Vim Balabai is torn, Shaina Nen, a cloud. And if the owner says, I get no benefit from it at all, it's totally something which I wouldn't pay for at all, then Ein Rotsina Bezeb, Adova Sovik Benaya Basin, Nishma Hesus Lunikale. If it's something which you can't clarify, then you have to make a shvur that you don't want it.
But it, even if I don't want it because I don't want to pay for it,
it doesn't matter. Yes, that doesn't matter.
So how about the case with the taxes? The guy that's the tramp that picked up for 200 shekels,
yes.
He also would never take it if he had to pay 200 shekels, or he would have ordered a taxi to begin with.
If he would claim such a claim, he would tip a shekel. What? So what do Basin do over here? They actually try and clarify it. So if the claim is, I can't afford it, and I never take a cleaner, and I can't afford it, then we have to see your expenses. How much money comes in. Give me your bank account details. Give me how much your work costs. And therefore, we'll work out if it's true. You're saying that you can't afford it. If we see from the figures on the paper that it's something which is really beyond your budget and really it's a luxury and something which you, people wouldn't pay if they had such a budget like this, then we can see from your claim is true and therefore we'll take it as literal that type, you would not pay for this service because it's beyond your budget. So basically it has always, depending on your claim, how to investigate. Even in cases where you can't remove the benefits, we can now investigate still with other tools to see whether your claim is valid or not. Yes. Yes. That's a good point. If we see that you got not, if you were given this benefit for, as a special deal, 50 shekels, instead of 150 shekels, then you would be required to pay 50 shekels. The amount of money that this benefit would be kedai, because you like the benefit. As you say, the benefit's good. Just the problem is money. So, let's get rid of the problem of money. 50 shekels is not a problem, so you have to pay. Okay. Now, let's move on to a case that did come to this.
Would there be any difference if we know the guy did it al da'as, that I know he doesn't want it, but I'm going to force him and base him to pay for it because it is halakha?
We would say that the guy is a rosha,
yeah.
A rabbi, and maybe over a few isurim, but it wouldn't make a difference to the kosher mishpat. Like we said last week, somebody broke into somebody's house, so to speak, yeah? And then made a claim that they wanted the benefits because they painted the house, yeah?
So what happens if it's a very rigorous process? I only pay, I don't know if I like it, but when I hire somebody, I only hire people legally who do the proper government system. I don't go under the table. And because you go under the table, that's why I don't want to. That's why I want to pay more. You know, people come to me, get it properly, fill all the legal forms, fill all the health, all the government stuff. Could she make that different claim?
That type of claim is very difficult to claim if the standard practice is for normal people, is to take even underneath the table. And you don't, in this particular case, lose by taking it. What you worry, why do you normally take over the table, because you have this problem, that problem, if it's under the table, could have this problem. If at the end of the day, the service was provided, you took the service, and
It's just a moral issue rather than a practical issue. I don't want to take non-legal black service. I only want to take white service. A moral issue is not a claim unless it's standard practice, a standard minhag, custom. But if it's not standard custom, it's your personal morals, and it doesn't physically cause you any damage at the end of the day, so it's not a thing.
If the
could is 1 in 1,000%, then botlo data eitzakolodim, we say all over Shas. Now, Reuven owned an educational institution, and he needed land for his school, let's say. So he went to the local government authorities and asked for a piece of land in the city for his, set up his school. The local authority says, we can give you a piece of land, but you should realize it's not a permanent piece of land. We're going to rent it to you, but it's not a permanent piece of land. We'll give you a temporary residence. Fine. So he got the piece of land, but as usual, it's just a piece of land. So he had to do lots of investment to make the land usable. So he flattened the land and he put in infrastructure, pipes for sewage and water. Fine. He put his caravans down. After a few years, Baruch Hashem, his institution grew and the land came too small. So he made another request from the local authorities, and this time they gave him a bigger piece of land as a permanent residence. Very good. So he moved out, took his caravans with him. Shimon was the next person to move into the land which Reuven had just left. Shimon now got the land from the local authorities. And Shimon came and said, the land is very well prepared for me. So he bought his caravans, but he didn't have to build any infrastructure because he used the same infrastructure which was ready provided by Reuven. Fine. After everything was set up, Reuven, the old person who was on the other the land beforehand, came and said, look, I prepared this land, I put in this infrastructure, you're using it, I want you to pay for it. Shimon Tainus says, what are you talking about? Who did you improve this land for? Not for me. You improved it. Who's the owner of this land? Who's the owner of this land? The owner of the land is the local authorities. Whose land did you improve? The local authority piece of land. You improved their land. I got from the local authorities the land. Who did you improve? The local authority. If you got a claim, go to the local authorities for your claim to get your money back from them for all the infrastructure that it puts in. So the shaila here we're discussing is a renter, when he improves the property, he's improving the property for the owner. If so, he's saying, go to the owner, don't go to the new renter from the property. That's his claim back.
So it's not just the renter, he wasn't the renting when he got the improvement. He never got the improvement.
Shimon got the improvements at the end of the day.
He got afterwards, but he didn't improve anything.
Reuven improved the land.
He didn't improve anything that had any shaykhus to Shimon when he improved it. So he has no right to.
So then you're saying Shimon is correct with his saying,
right,
that Reuven, you improved, not me. You didn't do anything for me. You did the land a service for the local authorities, not for me.
Was the rent increased because the structure was already there?
No. No increase. No, he's renting. He's also renting. He's just a tenant. That's evident. So what does that do?
So that's because now you are or something
Okay. It's a good chilek, what you're saying. When he puts in the infrastructure, Reuven, he intended... Who is he doing the infrastructure for?
For himself.
For himself. He wasn't doing a service for anybody. He was doing it for himself. Could he have taken it out?
Yeah,
he could have taken it out. Well, you gave this vibe, but could he have taken it out? Why did he leave it? Nice question. Why did he leave it? Why he left it is because it's not kedai to take him out, and he knew that somebody else would move in, and he was hoping to claim from him. As he did. What? No, Shimon wants it. It's good infrastructure.
Save Shimon money.
If you take it to its logical conclusion, the way you're saying it, you would end up that if I build a house on property and I sell it to you and you sell it to Levy, I can go to Levy and say, you know, I built a house there, so you got an improvement, you owe me money.
So we're going to discuss.
It's ridiculous. You can't start this.
So how ridiculous is it? We're going to discuss it.
You said before when the electricity did that improvement, it belonged to the house.
Yes, it belonged to the house. Oh. So we're going to see a difference here. Yes. 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 And what does that difference make?
What if you did, like, if you're leaving an apartment and you know the people are coming into the apartment and you tell the people, listen, I'm going to paint it and I want you to paint it. Are you allowed to do that?
Mm-hmm.
If it's not your apartment, you're renting it.
Yes.
And you're about to leave and then someone else you know is coming and you say, you know what, I'm going to paint it and you pay me for painting it. And you leave the landlord out of it. You can do that, right?
It depends what the contract says. If the contract says you have to paint it because that's what most contracts have with landlords, then you have to paint it yourself. Yeah, but here Shimon didn't ask him to do it. Okay, so let's see.
It wasn't Shimon's problem. The case in the Gemara of Rav.
You're saying it's ridiculous.
I own the property.
That's what you're saying. You're saying it's ridiculous. Yeah, fine, I understand. So, let's see. So the Gemara and Bob of Messiah, number 4. Davkuf Yudamad Aleph, and it's the Shulchan Aruch as well. Says like this. Somebody has a apartment flat, block of flats. Only two people live in these block of flats. The downstairs people and the upstairs. And it falls down. Baruch Hashem, no one was hurt. And the Gemara says now, the top guy who lives upstairs says, okay, let's rebuild it. So what's going to be? Oma bala liya lebala abayas livnos. Top guy said, look, it fell down, let's go and rebuild it. You build downstairs, which is yours, and I'll build on top of you. They shiven our list, I'll build above, in order that I can build.
The whole thing fell down?
Yeah, the whole thing, Evan. But who ain't no rotsa? The downstairs guy says, I haven't got the money, I haven't got the time, I don't want to build downstairs. Don't want to. Hari balalia bone es abayis, kishohoyo. The upstairs guy can now go into the land and build downstairs, even though it's not his. V'yoshe v'dar b'socho, and he can live in the downstairs. Ad sheyitin lo kol yitzi yosof, until he gets paid back all his expenses for building it. When you pay me back all the expenses, then I'll move out and build on top. But all the time you don't pay for the expenses, then I'm going to build downstairs and live in it. Tosfos and the Nesivos ask the question. Why do you only paying expenses? You should pay the going rate, how much it costs to build the house. Why? Because who land does it belong to? The downstairs guy. He owns it. I go into his land and build a house for him. And what's the halacha when I go into somebody's field and improve it, or I go in and build a house for you? Then you have to pay
the lowest going rate.
The lowest going rate, not just expenses. Expenses, raw materials is not enough, but you have to pay the lowest going kablan. Why in this case, says Tosis, you only pay expenses. You don't pay the value of a kablan. says the Nesivus. Tafilo Yorit Shlo Bishus Keshigilo Dat Zenicha Noisla Rashvach. At the end of the day, if he wants it, he should pay for a kaplan, not just expenses. Ze'eno, says the Nesivus, is not true. The Dafka Shkenes Gavin Lahashvich Lachabero Hadin Kach. That's only true when I go and build it for the person. I'm coming to your field to improve his field. Then he has to pay me like the kablan. But Avohacha Ika Kavonis Lesoho, why is he building downstairs? He's building it in order that he should live in it. He's not doing it for the Bertram guy. He's building the house downstairs for his own personal needs. If so, Lo Isaacon Sashmiach Avera, it's not intention for Pharaoh, therefore it belongs to him. When he built it, even though I'm building it in your field, but I'm doing it for me, it belongs to me, because my intention means it still belongs to me.
And he still gets his cost cover though in that case.
And now you want to take it, so then I can only pay you for the materials. I'm not a worker. That's what we're saying over here. When I'm doing this work, I'm not working for you, I'm working for myself. So I've now built downstairs for myself. Now what can I charge you? Not the work. I can charge you the raw materials, because that's what I'm selling you over here. Work lot.
For my purposes, all I need to build was a shell. I don't need to start the house or the living room or anything.
No, because much more expensive for him to build the shell and upstairs as well.
He's only building downstairs now.
Only building downstairs. He hasn't
got
money.
He's not building
downstairs. No. He's only going to build upstairs. Yes. Building downstairs only, and he's living there. And when you give me the money, then I'll start building upstairs. That's the case. So we see from here, if you don't intend, when you provide, improve a property, you don't intend it for the owner, but you intend it for yourself, then you're not working for, you're only working for yourself, and what you have created belongs to you. If so, when Reuven went into and put down the infrastructure in this piece of land, he was doing it for himself. So the infrastructure doesn't belong to the land. It belongs to Reuven. Because he's doing it for himself, and therefore he had the right when he left to take it. And he didn't take it because he wanted to leave it there, because it's beneficial for him just to leave it there. So at the end of the day, when Shimon comes in, Reuben is now saying to Shimon, this infrastructure belongs to me. I never gave it to the area because I did it for myself. If it belongs to me, it still belongs to me. Now you want to use it, then you have to pay.
Only expenses.
Only materials.
Wait a minute. I'm saying it doesn't matter why he did it. He could have done it with Farish. L'shem Shimon is going to live here in 10 years. It's not Shimon's property now, so I can't be mispricing anymore.
It's still mine. Even so when Shimon comes in, as you see from here, land belongs to the area, but the infrastructure belongs to me. Because I never gave it to the area. Even when I left it, I never gave it to the area. So therefore, you can't, yes, I can't do anything about the land. But if you want to use the infrastructure, you're using something which belongs to me. So therefore,
you have to, it still belongs
to me. Because that's what you see from the Nesivus.
There you have, Kimat the Perish of Minag Medina. When a tenant leaves the property, he abandons everything that's on. There he is.
We'll discuss that maybe next week, what about tenant, but not true. It's the opposite when it comes to people getting a property from the area and improving it, they always go and claim the next person who moves in.
Really?
Yes. No, I'm not giving it to Iria. I don't want to give it to Iria, because you know why? Because the Iria will never pay me. Never pay me. Fine, but I put something in the Iriah's property which belongs to me, which I have still a right to remove, and if you, Shimon, want to use it, you have to pay. Okay, so then, fine, you can rip it out. No, you left it here. They left it here with a chance it would be ripped out. Why do you leave it here with a chance it would be ripped out? He should phone up and say, look, if you can't Navarra, can't claim, then...
And you were saying that you would remove it?
Yeah.
So, even
against Rudy. Rudy against Rudy. So in essence, Rudy doesn't have to sleep.
It's still, but the area can't take it and use it for themselves. The ownership is still his. They can say, "Get out of this! Is in my you put in my house your possessions. Take your possessions away." But you can't say now I can hijack them and use them for myself. Now, but it makes a difference. One factor: the halacha of the maaser in this case. If he gets paid expenses, then it belongs to whoever paid him, correct? And he can't decide what those expenses are, and he can't decide who pays. If he gets paid at the end of the day, the expenses, they belong to whoever pays. Here, in this scenario, when the area, he asked the area, give me another piece of land, bigger, so I can have permanent premises. Mm. And they did. That is considered as if the area had paid him for everything that he's put into his shetah. Why? Because they don't have to give him another piece of land, and don't have to give him another piece of land which is bigger. So when they do it, they're giving him an exchange. Move out of this land for this land. If so, they're giving him an exchange. It's as if the area have paid for anything he's improved in this land, and now it belongs to the area.
And they can charge Shimon.
And they don't, not interested in charging Shimon. So they say, come. And therefore, Shimon doesn't have to pay in such a scenario. But if the area would not give an exchange and say, time's up, out, or your school closed down, you don't need the area anymore, which happens, then he would be able to claim from Shimon the expenses, because he never got paid by anybody. So it depends whether he got an exchange by the area, or he was just closed up shop and moved and he didn't get anything, then he would have a right to claim from Shimon. Okay?
Believe that. That's
a very strong spot. Very strong.
So are you telling me that normal situation, you're not talking about inviting the behind